Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and today, this is a special broadcast remembering the unjust execution of Rehaneh Jabari on the fourth anniversary of that unjust execution. On October 25th, 2014, at approximately 5:25 in the morning, Tehran time, the evil Iranian regime silenced forever the Rose of Persia, Rehaneh, when she was hung, unjustly executed, for defending herself against a government rapist. Today I'm going to read from my book, Rehaneh, A Beautiful Fragrance, and introduce to you something of the beauty, the beautiful fragrance of this lovely 26-year-old girl who spent 7 years of her life in various prisons in Iran, being harshly interrogated and tortured to force her to change her story about what really happened. I want you to hear from Rehaneh's mother, Sholeh, and I want you to hear from several people who contributed to this book with their speeches about what Rehaneh meant to them. And this morning, before I do that, I wanted to read to you a statement from one of Rehaneh's classmates. This particular post came up on my page just 2 days after her execution in 2014. And I want you to hear this. Could have been me. It could have been you. My name is Yasmin, but it could have been Rehaneh. I am 27 years old, and I live in London with my family, but I could have been withering in Shahrah prison, separated from my family's nest and their warmth. I once studied in a classroom with Rahane, pine green uniforms, three rows of benches, and a chalkboard. We were 12 or 13 years old. She was bright, lively, and loved performing on stage. I have come to know that she took these qualities mainly from her brave mother, Sholay. We sang in the school's choir together and performed in religious plays, the only type that existed at school in those days. I moved to England. She moved to another school. I heard of her no more until. I am now a criminal defense lawyer, but I could have been a convict. Truth be told, a victim. The irony. I spent the best years of my youth at university and at bar school free. I could have been spending those years in a cell, enduring physical and mental torture, confined. My life ran exactly parallel to Rahane's, but in the opposite direction. The main difference is this, that I live in a country where at least the most basic human rights are observed. Right to a fair trial, right to life, and a right to be protected from torture or inhuman and degrading treatment or punishment. You could have been Rahane. You could have been Rahane's mother. You could have been Rahane's family or friends. Compare your life. Will you stop taking your human rights and human rights for granted, and use your freedom of speech and democratic rights to free people who could have been you? Yasmin. In my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance, in the opening third page, my beloved daughter, I will release your writings into the wind to spread your words like seeds, a tree whose fruit that cries, the cries of justice and humanity. You will be the leader of those women who live in the shadows of rape, day in and day out. Women who are living in the shadows, fearing an unjustified death, resulted from rulings tainted with administrative corruption and patriarchy. Sholay Pakravan, mother of Rahane Jabari, December 20th, 2014. I, Rahane Jabari, am 26 years old, with a hanging rope in front of my eyes that I am not afraid of. I write to tell the tale that I lived. I want to tell you everything that I said in court, which they did not understand, and everything that I cried out under torture, which was not heard. Everything that I screamed out while I was brutally kicked by four forceful interrogators who regarded themselves as almighty. Perhaps someone in this world will hear my cries and feel my pain. Rahane Jabari, prison letter number one. In the court of the Creator, I will charge Dr. Sarbandi, I will charge Kashem Sarbandi, and all those that out of ignorance or with their lies wronged me and trampled on my rights and didn't pay heed to the fact that sometimes what appears as reality. Dear soft-hearted Sholay, in the other world, it is you and me who are the accusers and others who are the accused. Let's see what God wants. I want to embrace you until I die. I love you. Rahane's final words to her mother. In the Persian language, names have specific meanings that relate to life. The name Rahane means flower, fragrance. Ironically, My name in the English language, Randy, means defender. I don't believe that it's a coincidence that I'm writing this book for Rahani. I am not merely writing out of sympathy. It is much bigger than that. I believe I have the God-ordained task to live up to the meaning of my name. I want to be a defender of Rahane's honor as a woman. Rahane was the helpless victim of a man's uncontrollable sexual advances, and she did what any honorable woman would do by defending herself. In Iran, the unfortunate reality is that women are the property of men. In a society that elevates the status of a man because of the Sharia law. According to the Quran, quote, men are superior to women, and the testimony of a man or a woman is only worth half that of a man's. Surah chapter 2, verse 282, Surah chapter 4, verse 34. Rahani grew up in this kind of culture. And because she defended her honor against a former intelligence agent, her fate was sealed. The Iranian regime would do everything in its power to protect the reputation of a government man, which meant that Rahani had no hope of surviving, but instead would be sacrificed on the altar of convenience so that the Sarbandi name would not be tainted. Right before her execution, the regime brought in cameramen, porters, to pressure Rahani into changing her story. Just say, he did not try to rape me. In the midst of great pressure to preserve her life, Rahani refused to lie and compromise the truth. But instead, she stood strong and tall as a majestic mountain, and looked in the face of her accusers and responded, I will not lie. The reason I chose the name A Beautiful Fragrance as the subtitle of my book is because Rahane exemplified and lived up to the meaning behind her name. She was a beautiful fragrance of honor, kindness, mercy, and courage. She forgave her interrogators shortly before her execution and showed kindness and compassion to the many women political prisoners who came from destitute and filthy walks of life. This book, this reading, is about a remarkable, extraordinary, and inspiring woman who suffered greatly at the hands of an evil dictatorship and illuminated a dirty prison with the beautiful fragrances of her wonderful character. It is my honor and pleasure to defend her honor and tell her incredible story to the world. I want you to hear from those that knew something about Rahane. And these dedications are sprinkled throughout my book, Reflections on Rahane. Rest in peace, Rahane. You are forever loved, forever remembered, and your bravery through torture and death will forever inspire. What your tormentors hoped to accomplish by so cruelly taking you from us was to no avail, because they cannot take you from our hearts. Hannah. Rehan, my dearest, you were an angel from God, but we weren't good trustees. We let this hateful regime cut your wings. Death picked you off, and we only watched it. Rehan, death wasn't the end of your life. You are immortalized, my beautiful Rehan. I'm sure you are happy and in complete relief now. The difficulties of this life continue for us, but you sleep well in God's arms. There are so many ways to describe this beautiful friend of mine, this beautiful Persian person. Dearest Rahane, your name defines your strong will and how you lived life. Rahane means beautiful fragrance. September 2013 was the first time that I saw your innocent face in one of my Facebook friends' posts. Your strength, combined with honesty, exemplified the character of one of the most inspiring women in this world. Your angelic soft voice, your honesty, and uplifting spirit of hope lit up the courtroom any time that you walked through the door. Dearest Sholay, although there isn't a specific word for a parent who is lost to their child, we will weep with you, stand by you, and somehow give you encouragement to cope with the pain, the anger, and the sense of loss. I know the pain will never cease, but I can feel that your heart is filled with the memories of Rahane's kindness, love, honesty, and dedication. May her strength be an example to all. She touched the world with her existence in unjust death. Gone too soon, but she will never be forgotten. Atiya, an Iranian American who lives in Texas. I want you to hear from my book, The Execution. It had only been 2 hours since Rahane's family had left to see her for the last time. She could still see her mother's tear-soaked eyes staring up at her. She could still feel her mother's arms around her. Now she was all alone in the cold steel coffin of solitary confinement. Rahane fell to her knees and quietly sobbed. She had held her emotions in for far too long now, and they finally were gushing out of her. Suddenly, she was interrupted by a tap on the tiny window of the steel door. She quickly composed herself and ran towards the door. It was Sahar. She had a worried look on her face. Sahar stretched her hand through the slit in the door where the food was delivered. She desperately wanted to touch Rahane's hand to comfort her, but Rahane pushed it away and turned her back. Go! I will lose my strength if I see you. I want to bring you dinner, Sahar replied with a tone of compassion in her voice. I don't have an appetite, Rahane snapped back. But you haven't eaten anything since this morning. I don't want to eat anything. Go. Sahar reluctantly turned her back and walked away from the steel door in tears. Promptly at 12 midnight, two guards awakened Rahane from a deep sleep. She was quickly escorted from her solitary confinement cell into a waiting van that would take her to Raja Shahar prison for the execution. It was about a 90-minute drive, and Rahane was scheduled to be hanged just before dawn. During the 90-minute trip, she sat quietly gazing out the window into the dark and cold October night. For a few fleeting moments, Rahane thought about her birthday. In just 12 days, she would turn 27. Immediately, as she thought about her age, she bowed her head in despair. There would be no celebration this year. The van entered through a steel gate at approximately 1:45 a.m. and came to a halt outside of a large building. Rahane was quickly escorted through the main entrance and processed. The two male guards on each side of her promptly took her into a large conference room known as the interrogation room. For the next 2 hours, she would be subjected to an intense interrogation for the last time. Rahane sat down on a chair facing the table. Two large Muslim men dressed in gray uniforms marched into the room and sat down across from Rahane. The intense lights blinded Rahane's eyes. She lifted her hand up in front of her face and rubbed her forehead to relieve the intense pressure from a headache. She had only slept for 2 hours and was extremely weak and exhausted. She still had a fever and a sore throat. Her stomach began growling from lack of food. Officers from the Mueller and intelligence offices swarmed into the room with the film crew. One of the tall, muscular interrogators looked Rahane intently into her eyes and screamed, "Just say he didn't try to rape you. Just confess that you bought a knife to kill Sarbandi." Hot lights flashed directly into Rahane's eyes. The lens of the video cameras focused tightly upon her face. Rahane lifted her arms up to protect her face. "Just say he didn't try to rape you," the interrogator screamed once again. Rahane's heart began to race from fear. She desperately wanted to crawl underneath the table and hide. She was weary and exhausted from the same questions and accusations over and over again. Taking a deep breath, she could see her father standing before her in her mind's eyes, encouraging her for the last time, staring in her face, saying, "Be strong. Be strong, Rahane. Don't forget, you are Kurdish." Rahane slowly raised her head up and proudly looked her interrogators in their eyes. "I can't. I won't lie," Rahane proclaimed with a loud voice. Almost on command, two male guards immediately approached Rahane and pulled her up out of her chair. Rahane didn't resist. She had no strength left in her body. Then one of the guards struck her in the face with the palm of his hand. Rahane collapsed onto the floor. The cameras followed her down on the floor. She lay still for a few moments, moaning in pain. Then one of the guards pulled her back up from the floor and sat her down once again in the chair. The interrogator pushed his face up against Rahane's face. Rahane was trembling. She couldn't look at him. "You purchased a knife to kill Sarbandi, didn't you?" the interrogator demanded. Rahane remained quiet. Suddenly, she felt the healthy palm of a hand strike her firmly on her cheek. Rahane screamed and fell backwards in her chair against the wall. "Just say he didn't try to rape you," the interrogator screamed in her face once again. Rahane was so weary. She felt faint. The fever continued to rage within her body. After a brief moment, Rahane slowly raised up her head with the last drop of strength that remained. She gave the interrogator a defiant look from her tear-soaked eyes. "I can't! I won't lie!" Disgusted, the interrogators kicked Rahane's chair and ordered everyone out of the room. He slammed the door shut. Rahane fell forward and laid her weary head down upon the conference table. At 4:15 a.m., Rahane was escorted back to the van. She sat down in the van and leaned her head back. The van quickly drove away from the large interrogation building down the road towards an open field complex. Within a few minutes, the van came to a halt. Rahane looked out the window and saw a large platform surrounded by bright lights. In the center of the platform was a dangling noose and a tall chair. A sharp pain shot across her chest. She nervously swallowed. The two male guards hurried her out of the van. They walked up a short flight of stairs, arriving in the center of the platform. Rahane could feel cold autumn air stinging her in the face. This morning, she was wearing the same clothes that she dressed in to see her family for the last time. A white shawl covering her head with colored butterflies, a navy blue chador decorated with tiny white flowers, a navy blue shirt, and black trousers. Rahane stood silently on the platform in the dull, dark, cold night with the bright spotlights illuminating the stage. Out of the corner of her eye, she noticed Jalal Sarbandi and his family arriving on the platform. They stood a distance of 25 feet from her. Jalal refused to look Rahane in her eyes. Instead, he turned away and held his mother in his arms to comfort her. At that moment, the two executioners, with their face covered in black masks, took a firm grip of Rahane's arms. They helped her step up on the top of the chair. One of the executioners then firmly placed the noose around Rahane's neck and tightened it. Rahane closed her eyes. Her whole body began to shake with fear. Sweat raced down her cheeks. She took a nervous, deep breath. Flashes from her childhood raced across her mind. She remembered as a little child being afraid to gargle with salt water for fear of choking. The horrible flashback in her mind was now a frightening reality. Rahane took another deep breath. She could see her mother's face and her eyes swollen from crying. She could feel her arms tightly around her right now. Tears streamed down her face. Then she saw the beautiful face of the Christian girl who had miraculously visited her in her cell. She could see the tiny metal cross in the palm of the girl's hand. Rahane saw herself clutching the cross in her hand. A gentle wave of comfort filled her soul. The pain, the fear, the hurts, and the bitterness began melting away. Rahane stared up at the black sky. Where was God right now? She nervously mumbled to herself. Don't you care? Don't you love me? Rahane then turned her head and for the first time gazed into Jalal Sarbandi's eyes. She could see fear and frustration beaming out from his eyes toward her. Forgive me for the sake of my mother, Rahane whispered out loud. Rahane looked back toward the heavens and took a nervous, deep breath. Then she gazed back at Jalal. I swear to God that you will repent later and find out that you were wrong. Later you will find out that I was innocent. Jalal walked away from the arms of his mother. Rahane swallowed nervously and closed her eyes. With a firm and forceful kick, the chair fell out from under Rahane's feet. There was a quick and forceful snap, and then an eerie silence that followed. Dangling on a rope, suspended between heaven and earth, the beautiful Rose of Persia breathed her last. Rahane bowed her head and kissed the face of God. Thank you.
beautiful offering. Your love changes.
Short days after this unjust, tragic execution, Lisa Daftari of Fox News had a very powerful interview with Rahane's mother, Sholeh, via Skype, and it was with an interpreter. I want you to hear this right now.
The Iranian government executed 26-year-old Rehana Jabari over the weekend. Rehana was hanged for what authorities call premeditated murder, but what she and her family maintained was self-defense against the man who allegedly tried to rape her. After already serving 7 years in prison, her case garnered much international outcry, many believing there was foul play. Fox News did an exclusive interview with Sholeh Pokhravan, Rehana's mother, just a few weeks ago, who urged her daughter's supporters to speak out in an attempt to save her life. She now joins us only 48 hours after her daughter's execution. What was the last conversation you had with your daughter? What was her state of mind?
I went to see Rehana on Friday. It was with my husband, my other daughters, my parents, and my sister. Rehana comforted us, but she knew this was the end. She said there has been increased crackdowns and pressure on all the prisoners. She told us not to mourn her, not to be upset. It's so difficult, but I'm really trying to hold it together and to honor my daughter's wishes.
Had authorities given your daughter any warning? What had they told her?
They told her she had to go in front of his family to be pardoned and forgiven by them. They told her she had to confess that there was no intention of rape, and then maybe they would excuse you from execution. Then they brought in cameras into the room where sentences are carried out, and they kept pressuring her to confess that Zarbandi was not trying to rape her, and Rehana refused.
And you also went to the family to ask them to forgive your daughter, right?
We went to their family many times, begging them to forgive Rehana, but they didn't accept. But unfortunately, the day her execution was carried out, there were so many corrupt people there that they helped the Zarbandi family exit through a back door. Others tried to stop them, to ask them to forgive Rehana, to ask them to drop the charges, but they did it in a way so that we did not run into the family. We didn't have a chance to see them again.
As difficult as it is, take us through the day of the execution, how you were notified, how the family was told that your daughter was killed.
On Friday, when we saw Rehana for the last time, they never told us which prison she would be taken to. We spent the entire night going from one prison to the next, till morning. We were shivering in the cold, both from the cold and from our nervousness. But I tell you, we still had hope. We had hope that Sarbandi's son, Jalal, would finally admit the truth and to pardon my daughter, or at least we were hoping the sentence would be postponed again. It was 7 a.m., and I was sitting in the car because I was so cold. And two of the women came to the car, and as they opened the door, they were crying. In that moment, my entire brain froze. I became paralyzed. Moments later, I just began screaming. I couldn't believe it. They killed my Rehana.
What did the authorities say to you at that point? Did they say anything to you or the family?
Absolutely nothing.
Rehana had so many supporters and advocates around the world. What's your message to those people?
I need your help. I am asking all the countries in the world who defend human rights and women's rights to investigate Rehana's case in international court. Maybe other courts can prove my daughter's innocence. The government's message to the women of Iran was that you cannot defend yourself in the face of rape or violence, or else you'll be executed.
Now I want to talk about the funeral. Were the proper dignities given to your daughter? Were you allowed to bury her in the way that you wanted?
In Iran, we have a custom of preparing the body in a certain way before the funeral. They had secretly done all of this without us. There was heavy security presence there. My husband and I, the rest of the family, we were told by security that we weren't allowed to touch or to get too close. They wanted to carry out the entire burial without us. We pushed our way to the front and begged them to allow us to participate in my daughter's burial. Of course, they didn't listen, and even the burial, our last chance to say goodbye, wasn't in our own hands. Right now in Iran, all of the media is reporting that this man did not intend to rape Rehana and that Rehana had every intention to murder him. I have no way of getting through to any courts here in Iran. In the same way that they killed my daughter, they will continue doing this to young people. They brainwash the people of Iran. They corrupt people's minds.
And I know Rehana left behind a very detailed will. How did she want to be remembered?
Today I cried so much. I was looking at pictures of Rehana. There is such a deep, deep pain in my heart. My beautiful daughter, she was beautiful in every way, a beautiful face, a kind heart. They killed her. What more can I say? She also told me that she believes in an afterlife. She told me not to worry, because in the next world, she would seek justice for the injustice she endured. From the judge, from the officials, from Sarbandi himself, those who tortured me in prison and did not spare me from my pain. My daughter forgave everyone that did this to her. She reminded me to forgive so you can grow, so that your heart can be at peace. Rehana had already forgiven all those who had tortured her. She said she would try to prove her innocence to them in the world to come, but in this lifetime, she had already forgiven them.
I thank you for speaking with us so shortly after receiving this awful news, and I wish you and your family comfort at this difficult time. Thank you for joining us.
Lisa Taftari of Fox News in a very emotional, very powerful interview just 48 hours after Rahane's execution, talking to Sholeh, Rahane's mother. She forgave. She forgave all of those who had unjustly trampled on her human rights, who had interrogated her unjustly, who had tortured her unjustly. This reminds me of Jesus in his crucifixion. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. You see, a few years earlier in prison, Rahane had a supernatural visitation from a girl who said that Jesus had forgiven her of all of her sins, and she began to share with Rahane in her prison cell the gospel. She gave her a metal cross. When Rahane woke up the next morning and looked under her pillow, the cross was there. The girl was gone. She tried to find that girl and never was able to. I think you and I know what happened. Our great God sent an angel to her. And so in her dying breath, forgiveness was at the center of her thoughts and prayers. And she is safe at home in the arms of Jesus. I want to share with you in my book, the blog I wrote for Rahane just a few hours after her execution. And I want you to hear what it sounds like to stand for someone innocent like Rahane, to be a voice for her, to fight for her, and ultimately know that she did not survive. I want to read this to you. Kota Kota, my God, Rayhan, Rayhan. For as long as I live, I will never forget the agonizing and gut-wrenching cries of Sholeh Pakravan as she received the tragic news of her daughter's execution. I was quietly praying for Rahane inside of the chapel at work during my break time. It was 9 p.m. on Friday evening in St. Louis, Missouri, and approximately 6:30 a.m. in Tehran, Iran. Dawn had just broken over Rajar Shahar prison. And despite international outcry and a petition containing over 200,000 signatures, the Iranian killing machine hanged 26-year-old Rahane Jabari, an innocent martyr for the crime of self-defense. No doubt, the final words of her daughter were racing through Sholeh's mind at that agonizing moment. I love you. I wish I could have hugged you until I died. I had been in the middle of praying when I discovered this haunting video on my cell phone. I stopped for just a moment, and as I watched dear Sholeh in her agony, I wept and pleaded with God for his mercy. I remembered the words of Rahane on one of her letters from prison in which she cried out for someone to listen to her and be her voice. Perhaps someone in this world would hear my cries and feel my pain. At that unforgettable moment in the prayer chapel at work, I truly connected with both Rehana and Sholeh. I felt their pain. I was gripped by their suffering and agony. Indeed, I heard their cries, and it is a moment that I will never forget for the rest of my life. The day that this brutal and unforgiving regime hanged Rahane and thrust a sword of injustice through her mother's heart was only 11 days until her 27th birthday. For 7 agonizing years, Rahane had suffered in prison for the stabbing death of Mortaza Sabandi, a former intelligence agent who had lured her to his apartment to do some interior designing work and then tried to rape her. From the age of 19 until her unjust death at the age of 26, Rahane had never experienced a normal adult life. The world allowed me to live for 19 years, Rahane wrote in her prison letter, part one. I want them to know what happened to me at the age of 19 that has made me no longer fear death. For Rahane, her life had stopped. Her life ended at 19 when she was thrust into the grave of Evin prison. Yet in spite of her suffering, Rahane cried out to the world through her prison letters, which became her voice to anyone who would listen to her cause, to her side of the story of what really happened. With a hanging rope in front of my eyes, I want to tell you everything that I said in court, everything that I screamed while I was brutally kicked by four forceful interrogators who regarded themselves as almighty. Perhaps someone in this world would hear my cries and feel my pain. For more than 6 months, I heard the cries and felt the pain of Rahane. My Facebook page was filled with petitions and stories about her plight. I wrote a blog about her entitled The Crime of Self-Defense and pleaded with listeners on my radio program to be a voice for Rahane, save her life, and sign the petition for her freedom. For 1 month before her execution, I paused from work at break time and went to the chapel and prayed for her. I was confident that God heard the cries of the oppressed and suffering and that he would deliver Rahane. It was only an hour after watching that agonizing video in the chapel that I received the tragic news that Rahane had been executed. I paused from my work at the hospital and found a quiet place and went to my Facebook page on the cell phone. With tears streaming down my face, the following post to my friends. With sadness and brokenness, I have to report that our dear Rahane was executed just a few minutes ago. I am truly broken, and yet there is a part of me that is rejoicing because now Rahane is finally safe at home in the arms of Jesus. Death no longer has power over her. The Iranian regime has lost. They can no longer hurt her. Jesus had the final word. Rahane, we love you and we will miss you. But one day soon, we will see you again at the great banquet table in heaven. This is a promise. Jesus had the final word, not the cruel and barbaric Iranian regime. During his suffering for his Christian faith on the island of Patmos, the Apostle John had an incredible vision of Jesus that encouraged him in the midst of his dark trial. John fell down in worship as Jesus laid his right hand upon him. Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 through 18. This is a powerful and comforting claim from the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. Jesus is the sovereign Lord over life and death. He has the final word, which means at the moment of our death, we are safe and secure in his arms of love. As I pondered this scripture, I was comforted by the fact that Rahane was finally free from the grave of her prison and had been ushered into the arms of a loving Savior. Jesus holds the keys of death and Hades. He had the final word. The many cruel years of torture and injustice had finally come to an end for our dear Rahane. There were a few moments of frustration and sadness for me that God had not yet spared her life, and yet I realized that he had indeed delivered her and answered my prayers. It was just 10 days until her birthday. For the past 6 years, Rahane had spent her birthday behind the bars of a dark and cruel prison. However, this year, on her 27th birthday, she would finally be free. There was a candlelight vigil for Rahane celebrating what would have been her 27th birthday on November 5th. And there is a picture of Sholeh and her husband Fariduddin holding each other tightly. Sholeh laying her head on his shoulders, and there's a cake in front of them decorated with a picture of Rahane standing in court with 27 candles on it. It is a beautiful picture in my book. I think it's so important to remember that Rahane is a symbol of all Iranian women. You see, this story, as intimate and personal as it is for me, there are thousands of other Rahanes behind bars screaming for their story to be told, to be made public. We don't hear their stories, but God in His providence allowed me to hear her story. Rahane's words to this day just absolutely haunt me. I just get chills when I read from prison letter number one. Perhaps someone in this world would hear my cries and feel my pain. And I have. Every time a copy of this book is sold on Amazon, whether in paperback or Kindle, I rejoice for one reason, that person is going to be introduced to the beautiful fragrance of an innocent young Iranian girl, and they are going to be touched to the core with her story and become a voice for her and all suffering women in Iran. The purpose for this book is to spread the seeds of Rahane all over the world, in every culture, in every place, so that the world understands something, that there are women genuinely suffering in Iran. In January of 2017, right after the inauguration of President Trump, the women's rights activists took to the streets, yelling and screaming for their rights. And I thought to myself, where is their voice for the young Rahanes in Iran, for the young Yazidis raped and murdered, for the women that are truly suffering? Where are the voice of these activists? They are silent. They have no voice for those who are truly suffering, who have no rights, who have no freedom. This morning on the cross in the desert, I hope you will take away one thing from this special broadcast, and that is you will take away the voice of Rahane Jabari, and that you will tell her story to every woman that you encounter, to every woman who has been violated and hurt and scorned. Rahane's story is the balm of Gilead. It is healing oil that she refused to compromise the truth. And even to preserve her life, she refused to lie. She is a symbol of absolute courage and inspiration and hope for all suffering women. And Rahane in prison found the hope that forever has changed her life. In prison, she read about Jesus. And in prison, she met him in a personal way. And she is like the butterfly emerging from the cocoon, born again to a glorious hope that no prison bar, that no noose and no executioner can prevent. She has imperishable, immortal, eternal life, and those that did this to her will answer in the courtroom, as Rahane rightly pointed out, that she will seek justice, and indeed, justice will be served. because we have a just, righteous, loving, and holy God. I want to thank you so much this morning for giving of your time to hear Rahane's story. If you've never read her book, I pray that you do. It's a book that has transformed my life. If I never wrote another book, I would be very happy to have had the privilege and the honor to defend Rahane. And so, I want to thank you for your time, for your listening ear. I just ask that you share this radio broadcast with all of your friends. I want them to know Rahane, the beautiful fragrance that she was and yet she is to this day. And remember her family, who on this day, 4 years later, are hurting deeper and deeper than ever before. God bless you. Thank you, everyone, for attending this special broadcast in honor of Rahane Jabari on the 4th anniversary of her execution. I will see you next Monday on the Cross in the Desert.
And all my tears, I give.